妈，爸妈，爸妈，爸妈，爸妈，哎，爸妈，哎，爸妈，呜呜呜呜呜呜呜呜呜呜呜呜
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. Enlarge our vessels to receive. Oh, we receive it. We receive it. We receive it. Ah, totalia, 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 totalia. Timini Italia, toto, toti Italia, sa 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 so si 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 sa ta ta toti ta 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 toti toti ta Italia Italia, ifototolia Italia, ofototolia Italia, fofotifitofitofolia Italia, fototifitifitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofitofit fatu. Isi fitu fitu fatu. Fritzi fitu fatu. Isa sa 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 so 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 si sha kata ta ta la. Isi titi kata ta 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 Sata fita pratosa kalia kosinia botania nanata loke mio kitikalia. Oh, I've sent you keys, Baba Romini key, Baba Roti keys. Oh, I've sent you keys, Ama Tota Tamia no keys. Oh, mana keys, Ama co keys, Baba keys to unlock him. I won't yan, oh, Senor Braco, Senor Braco, his keys to seal. Come on, keys to unlock and keys to lock. Kamaria baba barato titi 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 titi. Oh ni 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 keys to unlock what you should love. Amrata tata. And keys to lock what you should hate. Amarata. Isamoria baba. Shenye rienio. Senya roti babo ata da 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 da. Enye umarata tata tata. Manda tanya nano nika baba baba. Oh nana sata. But you must yield. You must yield. You must agree. You must let me lead you. You must let me lead you to lead you out of darkness into light. Keys that would open doors. Keys that will open doors. Doors of my life. Doors of my person. Doors of my person. Oh, doors of my person. Unlock up things. Things that are unclean. Things that you shouldn't touch. Things that you should be separated from. Things that will not allow the Father to receive you. I give you keys. I send you keys. I send you keys. Oh, Shimanana Tarabato. Sakati Abako Sakati Yamadata. Tabalata, I don't know if you say. Tata, 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 tata. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. I send you keys, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, for that prophecy. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I just ask that the grace upon your servant, Pastor Jeff, will rest upon me at this time to speak to your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. So Jeremiah 17, thus saith the Lord. I like how he stressed that. That is God that is talking. It's not Jeremiah. You know, this is the God, the Lord, L-O-R-D, big one. So we know that this is something that is something we should pay attention to. Cursed be the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm. Trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm. And whose heart departed from the Lord. It's like a trifecta of problems. It should start to give us a sense of what the work that the enemy has done. And I like what he said about cursed. That is not like if God is, you know, pronouncing a curse. Maybe let's go to Genesis, where after the fall, God was making them understand what you have come into by that very action. I think it's Genesis 3 or 4? I think 3. Awesome. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Genesis 3:14. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. We all know this, but there's no harm in repeating some of these things. God created man, Genesis 1. And then he formed man, Genesis 2. And he made a garden and put man in the garden so that man could tend it. So the first thing, or the first conception of man from God, was to be in the garden. And they say he breathed into his nostrils and became a living soul. So that's the least quality that God envisioned for man, to be a living soul. But of course, we know that that was not the end. He was supposed to journey from living into abiding. And we know God kept coming to him in the cool of the evening to come and talk and, you know, have a discourse. We're still going to go back to Jeremiah 17. I just want us to look at something here. I want us to understand the foundation of man. Though this is the earthy man, right? Not the last Adam who is from heaven. But let's just picture this. You know, we cannot imagine what Adam was like. We can't. Think about it. Let me just give you one image. He named all the animals. And whatever he called it, so it was, and it was good. And God didn't say, oh, no, no, no. And, you know, name has to do with nature, right? So, it's possible the lion, when it was created, was, I don't know. It was what he named it, right? That nature that he named it. I know a lot of things got corrupted after the fall, but it's just to give you a sense that he could name every single thing on earth. He was in charge of everything, the heavens of the earth, and even the earth as well. Can you just imagine it? I'm trying to. It's not possible, right? We can't even think about it. We don't even know what that means. The best we can imagine is maybe one rich guy on Wall Street. What else? There's really not much, again, that the world prefers. Those are the stars of the world. They come out and shine. And we say, wow, this is a man. Can a man be this? Of course, man's spirit died, but Adam still had life in him, which he could pass down to his generations until we got to Noah, where, you know, I think Genesis 6, where they said man has become flesh and his spirit will no longer strive with man. But I'm trying to paint a picture of how man has fallen from something we cannot imagine now, right? Continued to fall and fall and fall. Got to Noah's time where they had to destroy everything. And then man continued to fall. So the life in man, the life that God deposited called living soul, continue to reduce. I think Pastor Jeff has taught us this before, so I'm not saying anything new, right? The life in man continued to reduce until God could find a man, another man called Abraham. But there's something very key I want to say about Abraham. Let's go to Genesis 12. And then we'll trace till we get to Jeremiah, and hopefully we'll land. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Okay, before I even say this, even after man left the garden, God did not stop trying to lead man, because of course he knew what was going to happen, which is degeneration, and the devil will continue to steal life. We saw that in Cain, right? When Cain left the presence of God, killed his brother and left the presence of God. But God was still very interested in leading man as much as possible. Now, the leading then was different because they had life in themselves, right? But they continued to lose that life until they saw the daughters of men, you know, married them and went away. But we see with Noah, God coming to speak to him to say, build an ark. When there had never been rain, it takes a certain amount of life in a man for God to tell you to do something like that. And it took him, I don't know, they said I calculated it once, but I can't remember now. Maybe 70 years or I don't know how many years it took him to build the ark. So can we imagine what it's like doing something that an invisible God told you to do? Only you in the whole earth. and you keep doing it, despite every single thing that will come against you, people will laugh at you, of course. Nobody has seen rain before. You are building an ark when there's no rain. It makes no sense. But God did not give up on man in the sense that he was intentional about still saving man. Because, as we know, the ark saved 8 souls, right? That's in, what's that scripture again? I think it's, can you help me find that? Thank you. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. So salvation was still the program, what God was still interested in from the very beginning. And this continued until we got to Abraham. That's it, Genesis 12. Now again, we see a man where God comes and says, get up from where you are, leave your father's house, leave everything, and go to a land that I will show you. A land you cannot see. And he did it, right? By faith. He did it. He went there. Promises came. I like that place where God was telling him, I'm your shield and great reward, right? And he said, I don't have a child. Oh, shield. What are you shielding? I don't have a child, right? Will everything go to Eliezer of Damascus? But he continued, right? He continued. He did everything he was supposed to do and received the promise. And we know that promise is Christ. Although there was a promise in the physical, which is Isaac, but that promise is Christ. And that's why we are here today. Because God could find a man that would obey him, that he could lead against all odds. There's nothing as bad as when a wealthy man does not have a child. It's like, okay, so who are you going to leave all these things to, right? It's a huge challenge. But he stayed the course. We could see the faith that Abraham exhibited. Anyway, 400 years later, Israelites, Moses, by faith again. I think I'm just reading Hebrews. But anyway, by faith again. He tried to accomplish the word that was spoken over him by himself. Right? He trusted in himself and made flesh his arm and went to kill an Egyptian. Of course, that didn't work, right? He had to go into the wilderness for 40 years to learn the spirit, to learn how to yield to the spirit, to learn how to rely and trust in the Lord. Because if he had not learned it, when the burning bush came, he wouldn't have responded. So he was no longer the Egyptian. He had been changed by spending time in the wilderness. Have we ever thought about how much shame Moses must have been going through, tending the flock of his father-in-law for maybe 40 years or 30-something years? Your father-in-laws, you don't have your own. No? You came to marry my daughter. You came empty-handed to marry my daughter. You have nothing. And he became so meek that he could not even talk again. They say he was the meekest man on earth. That was serious work that was done. That was serious work that was done. So the Israelites, right? Getting them out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea into the wilderness. So the place that Moses was conversant with, right? Was the same place he went to take 2 million people or so, took them across the sea and brought them into the wilderness. And they came with Egypt, of course. Now, Satan, from the very first time he lied to the woman, being a father of lies, and got them to disobey God, and of course their spirit dying. Let's picture it, right? Do you know how far, let's not even go to Adam, how far the Israelites were from Abraham in nature? They were not even close at all. Or from Isaac, a grown man that allowed himself to go and be sacrificed. You can see that the 2 million guys that had spent time in Egypt were a far cry from what Abraham, Isaac, or even Jacob. So the devil is a master artist of creating wasteland. I think that's in Isaiah 53. I think we're reading it. Is it 53? I think we're reading it some days ago. Where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Or 61. Thank you. You can go to verse 3. Verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. It gives us an idea of the difference between Abraham, I'm not even going as far as Adam, it's too far, between Abraham and the Israelites. Now, the Israelites had become so bankrupt in life that Egypt had already done a work in them that they could not let go of. And they exhibited all this in the wilderness, which is similar to us. When we, I think Sir Jimmy was saying earlier on today, I think in the prayer where he was saying that even before we gave our lives to Christ, that different things had been done. Different desolations. I don't know if you... Has anyone seen Book of Eli here? The movie? No. There's one I know you have seen, Mad Max. Yeah. Nobody? Thank you. Wasteland is not a desert. A desert, cactus and dates and stuff still grow there. A wasteland is, I don't know how to describe it. A wasteland is a dry, hard, dusty, useless place that nothing useful can happen there. You can't even think of fruit. What's fruit? Plant what? You can't even put seed anywhere. The ground will take the seed and disintegrate it. That's what a wasteland looks like. So you can picture what the devil is doing. The life that is remaining in man comes, he steals, and puts nothing. That's vanity, right? He just puts nothing. He calls it so many things, paints it beautiful, but when you look at it, it's just a wasteland that is not useful to you, and it's not useful to God that made you. So even before we give our lives to Christ, he has done a lot of work. Like Sir Jimmy was saying, the cast and the veil, you know. Maybe he's on lintel level or... And then you put a veil, right? So that you can never see that work and continue to steal life, continue to destroy, continue to do what he does best. Now, I'm juxtaposing our Christian life and the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And that's why I said you can see how far the Israelites are from Abraham. That's how much life has left them. Egypt has, you know, has sucked it up. That's what we look like when we give our lives to Christ. Even though we don't know, we feel okay, we feel everything is all right, you know, I only did what my parents said I should do. I should go to school. I should read hard, pass, make sure I get a job when I'm done. Then I can marry. I can have my own family. And, you know, that's that cycle, right? Nothing else. Nothing else. That's all. And maybe you know, start a company. You know, or come up with a new idea, you know. That's all. And I know for a lot of us, when our parents call us to pray for us, it's not beyond some of those things. And it's life. That's all you know as life, because that's all that has been painted as life. Okay. So you give your life to Christ. You believe. I think that's Romans 10, 8 or 9. Romans 10, 9. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, and then the person we're singing to, the Holy Ghost, right, quickens your spirit and comes to stay. This is a person, comes to stay in your spirit. Have you ever thought about why he needs to do that? It all ties back to the promise that God had promised even before the foundations of the earth. I'm trying to paint a picture today, and that's all, and then we'll pray. And that picture is, why all this? Why all this? Why all this? Pastor Jeff will come and say, you have to pray every day, you have to be in the spirit, you have to hit the world, you have to, why all this, you know? Anyway, so we give our lives to Christ, and then that's typified by being in Goshen, still in Egypt. And then you give your life to Christ, and the Holy Ghost is so humble and so loving that he comes inside you. You get filled with the Spirit. You start speaking in tongues. He starts to acclimatize you with a different world that exists, trying to make you become sensitive that this is not all that exists. This is not what you were made for. Well, you can be a believer for a lot of years, and the Holy Ghost to be like your ATM, right? So you need something. It's like an oracle. You say a few things, and then you believe. And it's nice like that. You pray, Holy Ghost, help me on this. He will help you. When he finishes helping you, you go back to what you were doing before. Life goes on. You are okay with it. He's there when you need him, but you are not interested in any form of leading. You don't know his purpose. You don't know why he's there. And so you just continue your life that way of like, okay, I go to church, I pray. I'm not interested in what that person has to say. I just need to tell him what I need at this time. and he will help you. I remember my elder sister, when she was writing, I think it was WAEC or something, I don't know, one of those exams. She, I don't know how many papers it happened for, but she always dreamed of the exam before the exam. So when she goes into the hall, she'll see the same thing she dreamt of. Of course, she got A's in everything. I don't know how that one happened, because my own turn, it didn't work. So it didn't flow in. It was not flowing. Or maybe my relationship with the Holy Spirit was not strong enough. But anyway, Holy Spirit is nice like that. He's loving, he's kind, he's gentle. He would help us, because he's still trying to introduce us to that other world, make us understand that there's something different, right? And your spirit is quickened. And your spirit knows, your spirit is Christ. There are scriptures to back everything I'm saying. I'm sorry, we don't have too much time, but maybe we'll read some. Ephesians 2. So that it won't be as if this guy is just telling story here. None of these things are in the Bible. Yes, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. We can keep going. I think also in chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, and so on and so forth. Your spirit is Christ. And that's the only reason why the Holy Ghost can actually even stay there in the first place. Because there are standards. There's a minimum standard. A man that his spirit is dead, you don't say the spirit is dead. It doesn't mean that the spirit is offline or something. It's just that he's dead to God, you know, but alive somewhere else. And that's why if you notice a lot of people, a lot of these stars of the world, if you ask them how they get ideas, they will tell you to just, you know, meditate or they do yoga or, you know, some stuff. Or go to an island and stay there for 3 days and bam, invention will come. Because they are getting inspiration through their spirit as well. Of course, from the Father of their spirit. So that should give us an idea, right? That means we're supposed to be getting inspiration from the Father of our own spirit. Yes, sir. We're not supposed to be living our lives as if our spirit does not exist. Now, your spirit knows everything about you as an individual. And, you know, Pastor Jeff always says this thing, that when we see you making decisions, we will know where you are living from. I'm trying to paint two cadres here of the spirit. Your own spirit and then the Holy Spirit. So your own spirit knows a lot. And your spirit can guide you in a lot of objective leading. So maybe you have, let me use an example. When I was moving to Ottawa, I think I got like 3 offers. And I was thinking of which one to take, right? And by mercy, I was just waiting. And in my spirit, I was told how the 3 jobs will go. And this is how it will go. So this is the one you should pick. It's like objective, right? So you have 3 options, you pick one, right? This is the one you should pick. And I picked it. And of course, I didn't make a mistake, by God's grace. The reason why I know I didn't make a mistake was because of the dealings that came with the job. And I knew those things were to correct certain things inside me. Now, a lot of times, the reason why, I'll still come back to the Israelites. A lot of times, the reason why we don't profit with the word we hear is because we don't know how to be led. We use our mind for everything. We just run with our mind. This makes sense. So you don't even use your spirit for anything. I was telling Mayan earlier on today, I said, if you were living in Nigeria, right, and you had to be, you know, jumping bus, you would listen to your spirit so that you enter one chance. You will consciously train yourself. But you know, we are laughing about this now, but a lot of people live their lives without any form of consultation to the spirit. But here, you know, this world where we live, you walk to the bus stop. You know the time the bus will come. You don't need your spirit to tell you. I mean, the bus will come. You don't need, this is the closest bus stop to my house. I'm not going to walk to the one that is far away. I wait there. The bus comes. I get into the bus. It takes me to... I know the time I will get there. I get there. So I've moved from my house to my office, you know, probably spent a whole day without even checking my spirit for anything. Even at work, while you're working, your spirit has things to say. Yes, about your job. Yes, sir. It has things to say. There are ways you can, like Pastor Jeff said, that there's probably righteousness in something you have to do. Yes, sir. And your spirit is nudging you that, okay, do it like this. Yeah. But you're like, I mean, is what? Is SQL. Once you put command, it will come out. And life goes on, you know. So the arrangement of this civilization is designed against making sure that we do not walk with our spirit. And the Holy Ghost, I don't know how many of us have read How to be Led by the Spirit of God by Kenneth Hagin. If you haven't, please look for that book and read it. The Holy Ghost talks to you through your spirit. Now, of course, sometimes, when he needs to get your attention, he could say things in a different way to jolt you. But a lot of times, he speaks through your spirit. And so, if you are not in tune with your spirit, you will leave. Thank you. This I say then, walk in the spirit that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will continue to live from your mind and continue to operate from that place. And so the Holy Ghost in you is a ghost. And you're just there, right? So a lot of times they tell us pray in the spirit so that your mind can slow down. Slow down so that at least you can hear what your spirit has to say about a matter, about your life, about what you should be focusing on, about what you should be praying about what you should be doing with your time. But anyway, this is something that we have to get right. Messages don't profit us because of that. Because we don't know how to interact with the spirit, and we're just, so no leading, you know. And that's how most carnal believers are. They're still living from their mind, living from the news, what's going on. Okay, this is it. If I plot my graph like this, I will get this and this and this. And you know, in this world where we live, you know, I always used to say something, that this place, because of that freedom of you can be anything you want to be. It's real. If you want to change career today, you will change career. Yes, sir. You move to another field. If you want to be a nurse, you want to be an engineer, whatever it is, you can move. The barrier is your decision. That's all. Once you decide, you do it. And those are just examples of the comforts, the opportunities, the luxuries, the life that this part of the world gives to us. If you are in some part of the world, you need to pray for like 6 months before you think of changing career, because but anyway, but these are some of the things, and these things are all designed. Is it a bad thing to be able to change careers? No. But they are designed to ensure that you do not consult your spirit. You do not interact with your spirit. The Holy Ghost is there to make it happen, not because that is how he wants to lead you. But God be praised, just like the Israelites, God had plans. His salvation plan did not stop because they were in Egypt. He raised the man, Moses, to lead them out of Egypt, to take them to the promised land. But to get to the promised land, you need to pass an interesting place called wilderness. Now, wilderness, there's a way you can hear wilderness and you're like, wow, the wild, right? You know, it's just a place where, man, it's not designed to sustain life. It's just... But we fail to see that what you call life, you are bringing from Egypt, which is part of the things I was just describing now, not living from your spirit, just using your mind, even though you are born again, right? To function, to make your decisions, to live your life, to decide what goes and what doesn't go. It's not a life, unfortunately. It's an aberration. It's a lie that someone has developed and given to every man. And so the wilderness is supposed to not sustain that life, but introduce you to another life. Now, this is where Christ comes in. The teachings of Christ. If we check Acts 26, I think when Paul was talking about his mandate, right? He said, I won't read too much, so I'll just say, and I said, that, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Romans 1 tells us about this power. Here it says, you know, from the power of Satan unto God, right? Romans 1, thank you. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So what that means is that there is a power, right? There's something called the power of Satan. And there's also a power of God unto salvation. Now, this is where wilderness comes into the matter. This is where the Christ comes into the matter, the teaching of Christ. You ask yourself, I mean, Holy Ghost is in me already, right? Why, I mean, I'm now a child of God. I'm Israel, right? Why all these power, left, right, and center? What power are we trying to fight here? Now, what sustains a man to be oblivious of his soul is a power. What makes you think a wasteland is beautiful, a beautiful garden? It's a power. What makes you continue? Sir Jimmy was talking about those who observe lying vanities, forsake their mess. What makes you to keep observing vanities? It's a power. So that means they must bring you to a place where that power must be, the effect of that power is weakened, and then another power operates. And that's what the Israelites went into wilderness for. The Bible says, I took you through the wilderness to show you what was in your heart. Because if you had asked them at that time, is anything wrong with you? They would have said, okay, let's get into the promised land. And the land will consume them, of course, because it's a land that consumes its inhabitants. And God even said, lest you see war and, you know, and you run away. So I need to toughen you up. Because every Kedah, we have spiritual wickedness, we have power, principalities, we have all those Kedar of angels that fell are all administering different levels of darkness in every man, in every single person. Let's not think it's... So that's why when you give your life to Christ, there are some things that may happen because they want to retain their stuff inside you. First level. You then hear that there's something called Christ and they're starting to teach you faith of the Son. Their investment is looking like it may shake a little bit. And so things start to happen around you to ensure that those things remain intact. And that's the time, if you are weak, of course, you will fall. But if you can rely on the Spirit... And that's why they teach us all these things. They give us so much knowledge so that we are not oblivious of where we are going to. So when something is happening in your life, it's not, it just happened out of the blue. No. They have been teaching you and teaching you and teaching you to give you understanding of what is going on, what you're worrying against, and what is the profit in it for you. Because, you know, as souls, we always want to know what's in it for me, right? You want to know. You just don't want, why am I just doing stuff? I want to know. And so they give you so much knowledge so that you are not oblivious of that fact. So it's hard to teach you Christ in the wilderness. No cucumber, no garlic. So think about it. Let me use another image. Think about the tabernacle. Think of you leaving the camp and coming into the outer court. Now you are restricted. So they restrict your life in a certain way. There are only certain things you can do. It's burnt offering. Constantly. It's only manna you'll be eating. And so every day, can you imagine eating manna for 40 years? They say variety is the spice of life, right? But imagine eating one thing. And so we come to, picture this, we come to meetings, and Pastor Jeff keeps saying the same thing over and over and over in different ways. You just say it like this, you say it like this. Sir Jimmy told us our members are plenty, it's like a country. So they have to say it this way, right? Because right now, fire is burning in Western Canada. We are not, there's no smoke here. There's nothing, right? So Western Canada can be on fire for God. Eastern Canada could be chill, right? So he keeps saying the same thing. Keep feeding, 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 feeding. And this is the same thing, the commandment that Jesus gave to Peter when he said, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, right? Keeps giving you the same thing. Of course, you will be, everything in you will react. It's just like going to a hospital. In Nigeria, they always give you beans. I think it's because it's protein or proteinous or something. I mean, the nurses here can tell us why they always give. They always give high protein, you know. So they just keep giving you the same thing every day. And you're wondering, when am I leaving this place? But picture that, right? They were in the wilderness and he kept giving them manna. Remember, they have failed several times. They had shown their colors when there was no water, bitter water. When they say, come to the mountain, Moses went and they were like, we don't know what's happened to this man. Let's build the God that took us out of Egypt. I mean, you know, when we read these things, we just feel that these Israelites, man, they must have been like the dumbest people ever. But we do that, right? That's us. I'm just painting a picture of our Christian life and the Israelites. That's what we do constantly. That's all we do. If they ask you, so the Holy Spirit delivers you from something. I'm just going to use this. And how does he deliver it? He gives you wisdom on how to come out of it. There's a way you can go back to yourself and tell yourself that it was the money in your account that solved your problem for you. And have faith in that thing. We do that constantly. I just wanted to paint a simple image. We do that constantly. What do we trust, right? Anyway, we are in Christ's world now, and they keep feeding you the same thing, to get you to understand the Spirit now in a different dimension. Now it's not about what you want. It's about where they are trying to take you to. But they still can't tell you everything they want to do. So they just tell you, produce fruit. Abi, peaceable fruit of righteousness. Produce fruit. Be a ground that can receive seed. Remember, wasteland, right? Nothing happens there. But they say, okay, be a ground that can receive seed. Work on that seed. What's going on? Sorry. Work on that seed and let it produce something. Show that you can fight the wars that need to be fought to produce fruit unto God. And now this is you journeying through the outer court into the sanctuary, right? And sanctification, that's all I'm describing. So you are being sanctified. Sanctified from all the civilization you brought out of Egypt. And so your life is no longer left to you to decide how you want to go about it. And then they introduce subjective leading. What is subjective leading? They subject you to something that is unfavorable to your flesh. It could be anything. It could be as easy as where you stay, who you stay with. It could be as easy as the job you get. It can be as easy as not even getting a job. Can be as easy as trusting God for provision. Now, I'm trying to add some examples to this thing so that these things are not vague in our mind. When Pastor Jeff is saying some things, right, we're not like, Oh, Pastor Jeff, you're too high. So that we know exactly what we are talking about. So let me tell you something that happened. That job I took, right?
Yes, sir.
So after a few years, I was like, hi, I need more money, man. So that I was doing too much work in this place for this amount of money. And that was when Annie's dad came to minister to us, right? And he taught us about the Lord is your shepherd, right? And if God is actually your shepherd, let him shepherd you, like Sir Jimmy was praying earlier on. So, before that happened, and I know Pastor Jeff is talking about unction moments. So before that happened, there was a company that had been trying to poach me. So I saw that they had a role. I didn't really understand what the role was all about, but because they were trying to get me, I mean, I just said. And it sounded more interesting. I liked the title of the role. I was like, if I put this on my resume, you know, it will open more doors. And so when I was about to apply, I think I was about to apply or I had applied, I had what I believe is an unction moment. Now, the scripture that came to me was, do not awaken love before it's time. And I knew exactly what it meant. But I said, anyhow, let's see, Sha. I mean, I don't really know the job, so they probably won't even give me the job in the first place. So they called me and said, ah, you don't need to do any, just go to the last interview and that's it. So I did the interview, very short one. The guy was in Calgary, and we just spoke, and he told me I should send him any questions I have after the interview, and I didn't have any questions. Although it was something new that I hadn't really done, but they called me and said, we're offering you the job. They said, even though it's not the title you want, we'll name it anything you want. So you can have that title that you want. But I already had, do not awaken love before it's time. Was it going to help my career? Yes, it was good to have that. So I then told them that the money is not enough. I looked for an excuse because I knew that if I had gone ahead taking that job, I would have been disobeying something that I had in my spirit clear. So I had to turn down the job. So I said, okay, if I'm turning down job, at least I need more money. Let me ask these people for more money. And then, you know, Annie's dad taught us and everything. And I remember that day, I think I was praying, and I had in my spirit that if I am your shepherd, do not ask for a raise. And I was like, it's like, we don't know what's going on here. By mercy and grace, I obeyed. And I didn't ask for a raise. Like a month later, a manager called me and said that they have to give me a raise. I'm doing too much work for them. I said, oh. Well, guess what? 1 year later, the raise did not come. And I was still there because I had not been told to leave that place. And I even tried to look for other jobs, but nothing was working anymore. So I'm trying to describe something. I'm using a very simple, easy thing to describe what subjective leading may look like. When you are not necessarily given an option and you are put somewhere because the Lord is trying to achieve something. Now, while in that job, I learned a lot of things, not physical things. I learned a lot of things about myself. I learned about learning how to leave things to the Lord. I learned about allowing the Lord to defend me. Because I'll be in meetings sometimes, and the person is saying something that they shouldn't be saying. And I will hear in my spirit, let me defend you. And that let me defend you. Nothing may happen that day, you know. Nothing may happen that week or something. And you like, ah. But these people are slandering or whatever the case may be. But anyway, I learned a lot of things being in that job. At the end, they even fired me, sir. But anyway. I learned a lot of things being in that job. And I would not trade those things for anything. So I'm just trying to give an idea of what something like subjective leading can look like. You are being subjected to something that is against, that your flesh, naturally, I mean, you should be moving up. You know, every year or every 2 years, something should be happening. Not staying in one place and they are just doing anyhow. But you know, those leadings are very necessary because the Lord needs to recover wastelands. He needs to recover portals that can respond to him. Because the Holy Spirit may have ways he wants to interact with you, but you are shut up in your ways of doing things. And so he has to, you are hearing the word is coming, we can, parable of the sower, right? Because of the word, different things were happening when the seed fell, right? Thorns, thistles, and so on and so forth. Persecutions, and so on and so forth. So, things are created around you. Now, these things that are created around you is for purification. It's for sanctification. To remove that life that you have always subscribed to. Remove it and make you, give you the opportunity to be able to yield to something new. So that you can walk in newness of life. Now, you can't walk in newness of life if every faculty in you is old and there's no interjection at any point in time. They can't stop you from just being on auto run. And so when we find ourselves being subjected to certain things because of what we have been taught over time, we should start to understand what the Lord is trying to do. Now, you cannot hate, you, first and foremost, you cannot recognize the world if you are not led. How much more hating it? Something you don't recognize, how do you hate it? You can't hate it. I mean, it's life. That's just life. And there's, I mean, it's life. There's nothing else. And so you keep being purified. So because of time, I will just move to the end. You keep being purified, keep being washed by the water so that you can bear fruit. Now, what's all this bearing fruit? We read in 1 Corinthians 13, we read about charity. You may ask yourself, do I have to be in that way for God to receive me? Do I have to be in that way for him to even have an interaction with me? We do know that Jesus is the minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle. Now, there's a minimum standard he can minister to. Because you need to understand what he's bringing. What he's bringing is will be too much for you to be able to comprehend or associate with. Like Pastor was saying, you can't take a farmer into garden. You just destroy the garden. You just turn it into Eden farms, right? You know? So there's a standard. There's a way you must be, right? And so purification happens through leading. Sanctification happens through leading. They keep objective leading, subjective leading. What you should do at every point in time, your decision making, what you consider as life, what your focus is. They keep washing you. Purify your eyes because it's how you see that will determine what you haven't seen in the first place. So if they don't change how you see, you cannot see the world. And if you can't see the world, you can't hate it, right? And it will continue to be your life. And you will continue to hold it enjoy it, love it, and so on and so forth. Now, this was the ordeal that the Lord wanted to take care of in the Israelites in the wilderness. And they were falling off. So members were falling off of a country, right? Members were dying. And it was reducing to a place. So their number didn't necessarily reduce, right? Because 40 years, other people will have given birth to more children. So it's, I can even assume that maybe it's around the same number that left Egypt that probably got to the promised land. Although they must have multiplied. But the members that had to be killed were killed because they were not compatible with the promised land. So no matter how long it took them 40 years. So no matter how long it takes to get rid of those members, ministry of Jesus will not necessarily start because you haven't bore fruits. You haven't shown that you are a land that they can plant seed in and it will grow and bear fruit. So continue to take you through the wilderness. Continue to lead you. Continue to guide you. Continue to help you to yield, to recover some of those wastelands that have been lost. Now, if we read, I think Malachi, right? And I'll start to round up here because we'll just pray for a few minutes and then we can go. Malachi 3. So behold, I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. I think Pastor spoke about this fire last week, Wednesday, I think, or so, where he was talking about the fire comes to burn impurities, right? And how we should be burning for the Spirit and not for the world. This fire, maybe we may not necessarily understand it. Fire is like, I think Pastor called it passion. You know, when you're passionate about something, you know you burn. Think about it. You are charged. You know, you're on fire. People can see it. They can say, ah, this person is an environmentalist or whatever, right? He's passionate about saving the earth. And you can see that fire, everything the person does, everything the person talks about, everything, the person's interaction, everything is tied to that. Now, it's interesting that we burn for several things, apart from the Spirit. I mean, several things, right? There's so many things that just ignite. And you start running without any restrictions. Even if your spirit is shouting with a megaphone, thank you, you can't hear. Because first and foremost, you don't want fellowship with the Spirit in the first place. So if he's shouting, it's like, get deep behind me, Satan. Because you believe that it's Satan that is talking at that time. Now, him coming here in this Malachi 3 we just read, he's coming to burn impurities. You know, I was talking about sanctification. So I'm still talking about the same thing, and then we will land now. Comes to burn these impurities, comes to sanctify us, comes to make us a land that can produce fruit, the fruit of charity. You don't read 1 Corinthians 13. It's interesting, isn't it? Right? You want to believe it all things, has long suffering, and all the things that is written there. They are lovely things. They are things that suffered long, is kind. I mean, envieth not, vaunted not itself, is not puffed up. You know this puffed up thing, eh? The world is very interesting. So I remember there was this car I had, one Infinity, like one black Infinity. Mine remembers the Infinity. And now when I was driving that car, I'm just giving you a very simple instance. How very little useless things can take hold of your soul. And that's why every invention that man makes, you can use them as a way to use them. Now, if you don't have the eyes and the understanding and the light of how to use them, you will abuse them. Now, I didn't drive that car because it took me from point A to point B. I drove the car to puff me up. Simple. It was a status thing for me. It was it validated my life. In quotes. You know. So that's why sometimes pastor will say, ask yourself why you want something, right? So you want to buy a Tesla now. Which is nice. There's nothing wrong with a Tesla. It takes you from point A to point B. You can charge it. You don't need to buy gas. So you get that government credit that they give for, you know, EVs, and you don't pay that tax that we pay on gas pumps, you know. A lot of advantages to it. But there's a way that same thing can hook your soul and present itself to validate the life that you have. It's no longer just a car. A car is just a car. It's supposed to move you from here to there. If it has AC, fine. If it has stereo in it, fine. If it looks good, fine. But it has no connection, no hook to your soul. So we want all these things in 1 Corinthians 13. But to get to this place, you must be sanctified. You will be led against your flesh until you can bear this fruit. Suffered long is not a one-day thing. It's long. So you allow things to happen to you for a long time. Seeketh not her own. Not easily provoked. We must be sanctified. And it will be as if you are being killed. Now your life is being taken away from you. Yes, life is being taken. But it's not your life. There's something better. And that's where I'm going to end tonight. By saying, convention now, the topic of convention is the Son of God is come. These are the kind of things that we may be thinking of and saying, okay, how do I properly interact with the fact that the Son of God is come? I just read Malachi 3, right? It said he will come, right? There are so many places in the scripture where it says he will come. But he's not going to lower his standard when he comes. He's coming for a particular reason. I think when Reverend was speaking about him coming, he said he wants us to know him as a person. Jesus Christ wants us to know his person. If I ask all of us here now, do we know Pastor Tope? We'll say yes, right? Because we've seen him on TV, he has preached and everything. But do you know him? You don't know him. Right? Yeah. So there's labor here to teach and teach and teach and teach and teach about, to reveal this man called Jesus. And in revealing this man called Jesus, at whatever level you are, whether you are in the camp, the outer court, holy place, the revelation of him, you understand, as we are all seated here now, because that's what is being taught. So you may be feeling that, oh, I haven't gotten to this level yet, so maybe we should dial it back a little bit and maybe just do life class and stop there. The light is really bright that is coming now, but it touches every single level you find yourself. And it's to bring you to a place where you can receive the promise. Now, the promise are persons. You know, Holy Ghost is a person. The fortunate thing for us is that we didn't get to learn his precepts or anything before he came to stay inside us. Although, there's still a lot of learning to do. But in a bid to help us to come to that place where we can get the promise, he came as the first person. And then there are two other persons that we need to come to. So in rounding up, John 14. Now this is where I actually wanted to start from, before Jeremiah. Before we read John 14, we'll just read that and then we'll pray. If we go back to Jeremiah 17, I've described trusting in man and maketh flesh his arm. That's all I've been describing. How you can live a life that was given to you, that was programmed, that you were arranged to fit into. You know, when you sing this one, you say, maybe I won't trust in my uncle or what he can do for me. There's a dimension that you can use it for that. But man is a fallen being, that everything about man on earth today has been designed by someone. And man operates behind that veil that has been put before man. And so, whatever you trust in, or you make flesh, his arm, it just means that you are still subscribing to that other life. That is where your trust is. And of course, your heart will depart from the Lord. Is standard. If you look at those three things, you trust in man. Because you trust in man, you make flesh your arm. And of course, your heart will depart from the Lord, because everything about flesh is enmity with God. Hence the whole point of doing sanctification, trying to separate us. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it says separate yourself, you know, and then and so on and so forth. We don't have to read that. So John 14, I just want to speak about where we are supposed to land, and then we'll pray. I've spoken about the Holy Ghost, so I won't read that again. Maybe I can read it, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You can see why we need to subscribe to the leading of the Spirit. Because without him, what we're about to read now will not happen. So let's read from verse 17 again. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I'm trying to paint the promise for us. I think in, is it 1 John or so? He said, this is the promise. Is it 1 John? The Father and the Son, something like that. Anyway, I'm trying to paint what has been foreordained in Ephesians 1 before the beginning of, before the foundations of the earth, where we are supposed to come to. This is the place where we're supposed to come to. We're supposed to come to a place where we have the Holy Ghost as a person, the Son as a person, and the Father as a person, where we can have God himself. We can know God and God will know us. And we can live that actual life. Remember, I started with Adam, right? But that is not even the life he wants to give us. Everything he's giving us is new, that has not existed in this world before. They're trying to give us something new, something that brings you to peaceful habitations. The fire that keeps burning within you, that is consuming you day in, day out, that is eating up your soul, and that you don't even know what it is, that you keep struggling with. They're trying to change fires, change loves, make us come into a place where we love actually what we're created to love. I know our time is done. So, and I still want us to pray. So in the next, I think, 10 minutes, right? We'll just use that to pray. I said all these things just to bring to our remembrance. I believe the Holy Ghost said these things to bring it to our remembrance, what our journey looks like and things that must happen for us to come to the promise. How we must yield, how we must come to a place of brokenness. There are so many other scriptures that we can use to talk about this same thing. So the question to you today is that, what are you looking for? What is it that you desire? I like how Bro Jimmy said it. What is it, what you desire, you ask and believe that you receive it and you shall have it? What life do you want? Is it what the world has painted? Or have you seen from the words that our pastors have been speaking about, you have seen another world that is beneficial? And another power that can lead you on to God. You say the Son of God is coming, the title of Believers Convention. When he comes, where will he find you? What would be the desire in your heart when he comes to visit men on earth? We have found mercy to be here. We have found mercy to hear these things. We have found mercy to be counted among a generation of people that will hear the actual promise of God and have the opportunity for his life to reign in us. So I want us to cry out to God and say, this thing, I want it. I want it. I believe it. I believe this is my calling. I believe this is what I have been preordained to do. Unto good works. I believe that the works of God is what I have been called to do. I know it will take a process, but I'm willing to yield my members, yield myself, yield my life to you, Holy Ghost. I'm ready to be led. Let us ask, if this is a desire in your heart, which I believe is everyone's desire here, because we keep coming here. It's not a social club. We're not just here to excite ourselves. We're here to hear from our Lord and hear how we can come to him. how we can meet standards that would make his life profit in us. So let's cry out to him. If it's a desire of our heart, let's say, Lord, I desire these things. I desire to be separated. I desire to be sanctified. I desire for you to be my God and that I will be your people. This is my heart's desire. I don't know what it will entail. I don't know the things in my life that will have to be killed, but this is my desire. And by your grace and by your mercy, you would help me. I desire that you would dwell in me and walk in me. I desire that I would have the life of your Son. This is my desire, Lord. Even as these words come, they will not just be words. There will be spirit and life to me. There will be things I can sow into the spirit with. There will be things that I can make profit of and bear fruit unto your holy name. Help me, Lord, because I cannot do it on my own. Help me, Lord. Equip me, strengthen me. Strengthen my resolve. Strengthen my resolve. I don't want to be here today and here tomorrow. Sambra Antonia Brasa Kalia Kosa. I believe these are keys that have been brought to us today for us to walk with whatever level we find ourselves. Lord, this is my desire. Help me. Strengthen me. Help my resolve. I don't just want to come here every Wednesday and every Saturday. I don't want to listen to messages every day and not profit with them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me. Help my resolve. Let me be persuaded. Help me to be persuaded, Lord Jesus. Kamariama osentia frotia lakia tote. Eme sentia bronte nibako sakatakania kuri maranta. Ekeshen telebrente likato likamato likabara. Tanta liba bababata laba. Teach me how to hate the world. Teach me how to crucify the flesh. Teach me how to yield to the Spirit. Teach me, Lord Jesus. This is my desire. Help me. Kamari abasun telebrike ni akosa. Efenti abrantoni kese ni abakatalia akosinya ni akotika. Anfanori kabrantoni akumasente likratosi kabrambanta ni ahosa. Efene ni binonti na akarantun si amaroni ashatani afaromi anaya. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. I'm tired of always falling. Tired of the flesh having power over me. I want to live by the Spirit. I want to know the Spirit. I want to understand the Spirit. I want to sow into the Spirit. I want to be separated. I want to be sanctified. I want to be received by you. I want to offer offerings of righteousness. Help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help my resolve. Let me not be found wanting. Let me profit with all these words that have been said, all this seed that has been sown in my heart. Help me not to trust in man or make the arm of flesh my resting place. Help me. Help my heart, Lord Jesus. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Teach me spirit life. Teach me how to wait, how to follow your leading, even in this time. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. I believe this is a prayer that will continue even as we go. There are so many places, everything I've said today, I'm sure there are so many places the Holy Spirit is showing you right now that this one, these are things that you have become comfortable with, that you shouldn't be. These are things that you, is your default, and you shouldn't be. Let's not trivialize them. I like what Sir Jimmy said. He said, there's a leading that needs to happen at this time for you to profit from believers' convention. Legitimacies may come up and so on and so forth to cause distractions, to make your heart not be in the right posture. But this posture thing is not a believer's convention thing. It's supposed to be a consistent thing. And so if the Lord, I know, the Lord is pointing at things and saying, this one, you didn't do it as you should have. This one, you should have waited. This one, you should have done this. This one, you should have done that. Do not gratify the flesh here and there. Even me that I'm speaking to you, I have my own too. Don't think because I'm standing here. I want us to carry this prayer. I think sometimes we think we need to have plenty prayer points. If you have one prayer point and that is what you really desire, you can find out that you pray that same thing for months until you start to see that change in nature. Your interaction with the Spirit will be different. Pastor Jeff, give us some insight, some keys into fellowshipping with the Spirit, praying, meditation, you know, and things like that, that will help us lean more on the Spirit than our outward man, so that we can be led appropriately. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for helping us today. We are grateful. We honor you. Thank you for speaking to us, each and every one of us. Even as we depart from this place, we have poured out our hearts, our desire to you, that we want your life. We have said it. We have declared it. We want to be more persuaded about it, and we have asked for your help. We have asked for grace. We have asked for might, for strength, that we will become more resolved to chase in this life, to focus on what you are calling us to focus on the fact that there are promises for us that you have in store for us. We ask that even as we depart from this place, we know you have heard us. We ask that you start to arrange things around us that will help us understand the Spirit even more and help us yield to your leadings. Father in heaven, we trust that your work has already begun. Your light is here. You have unlocked doors today. And you will show us the doors that need to be shut. And some you have already shut, even right here. And so we say we are grateful. As we depart, we ask that you go with us. As we meditate on these things, Holy Spirit, we ask that you bring it back to our remembrance. and guide us in truth. That when your words come, we'll be able to recognize them, pay attention to them, and find strength by faith to obey unto righteousness. Thank you, Father, for your mercies. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for blessing us. For in Jesus' name we pray.